All right. Our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, Encounter on the Emmaus Road. On that same day, two disciples were traveling to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about everything that had happened. While they were discussing these things, Jesus himself arrived and joined them on their journey. They were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk along?" They stopped, their faces downcast. The one named Cleopas replied, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who is unaware of the things that have taken place there over the last few days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. Because of his powerful deeds and words, he was recognized by God and all the people as a prophet. But our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the one who would redeem Israel. All these things happened 3 days ago, but there's more. Some women from our group have left us stunned. They went to the tomb early this morning and didn't find his body. They came to us saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who told them he is alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women said. They didn't see him." Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, your dull minds keep you from believing all that the prophets talked about. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then he interpreted for them the things written about himself in all the scriptures, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets. When they came to Emmaus, he acted as if he was going on ahead. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. After he took his seat at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scriptures for us?" They got up right then and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying to each other, "The Lord really has risen. He appeared to Simon." Then the two disciples described what had happened along the road and how Jesus was made known to them as he broke the bread.
Summer is coming, isn't it? And when summer's coming, at least for my life in Seattle, what it meant was festivals. Is that the same way here? Right? Festivals, you can walk down neighborhoods and there's the art shows. You can get your pottery, you can get your jewelry, and it's usually cool bands are playing, like the one we are creating. No. And so it's really kind of a fun time. And then also, food festivals, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that we celebrate the harvest. We celebrate the goodness. But you know what? I don't like them. I don't like them because you have to stand in line. I'm not good with that. And the other is you're eating and walking. I don't like that at all. I need to sit at a table and eat with you. It's kind of what's going on here. Let's enter our drama. Now, does it feel like this is the longest Easter day ever, right? Because last week it was sometime on Easter day and Jesus appeared to Thomas. Now we're later in the day and we've got these two folks walking along, walking and talking without food, walking and talking. And then here comes this person appearing to them. Now, they're walking and talking so much so they don't recognize the person with them. This is just a great scene. And notice it's Cleopas has a name, but the other one doesn't. And A.J. Levine, one of my favorite New Testament scholars, who is Orthodox Jewish, so she's always reminding we Christians traditions of Judaism in that time. And one is that women were in leadership, that it was customary that women would be in leadership. So she says, as do other scholars, that possibly that unnamed person is a woman. So our first aha moment. Then scholars, as one commentator said, because we don't know why all of a sudden now we're in Luke, because if you notice, we've been in the Gospel of John, and then we have this other part of our drama that we've added, this walk to Emmaus, which has become so famous, a story that we all know so well. I think it's to include the women, because as you know, I'm saying to Gary, as you know, as we studied in seminary, the Bible was not written by one person, right, in one sitting, right, everybody? Jesus wasn't a philosopher from America either, remember? Okay, so just want to get that clear. And the Bible was created by committee, right? You had people arguing, this goes in, this goes in, this doesn't go in, this doesn't. Then we have the lectionary calendar year that most of us preachers preach from, again created by committee. So I'm just going to say it was some uppity women that said, you got to include this one. Let's just say it. Our Jewish brothers and sisters call that midrash. We just add to the story. So been doing it for thousands of years. Why not? So now we got this man and this woman talking intellectually and also in fear. Because remember, we're still in fear. Jesus was just killed, has been crucified, and has risen. Some of the disciples know, but these are yet another group of disciples 7 miles away that haven't gotten the word yet that Jesus has risen. So they are walking in fear, in grief, probably saying, what's next? Oh my gosh, Jesus was overcome. What's next for us? Can you get this setting now? They're not just walking and talking like, how are the kids? They're walking and talking, what are we going to do? What happens next? And then here comes this stranger saying, what up? And then they're like, have you not gotten your TikTok? Have you not heard? Everybody is talking about this. Jesus is dead. He was murdered, crucified. Have you not been on your social media? And then, so that is using Jewish humor, literature humor, because you know what Jesus says back to them? You idiots. That's what the one scholar says. He says the direct kind of language when Jesus says, "Oh, you dull ones." Do you hear that? Remember when that we have that in there? "Oh, you dull ones." Oh, maybe the nice way, maybe the Midwest nice. Those of us that are going to be back, our Midwest nice. Oh, no, don't you get it? But that's a little bit south, but yes, bless your heart. And then, but we Southern Californians that speak what we mean, you idiot. Come on. I'll keep going, okay? I'm going to keep going. So, he is, I'm here. I'm among you. So then they're like, well, you seem like you're pretty cool. Why don't you come and join us? Why don't you come and be with us? So he does join them that night. And then, when is Jesus seen? When is Jesus known? When they break bread. Now, I feel like I've been saying this to you every week, because I have, haven't I? Jesus, we see Jesus when we are vulnerable and when we offer hospitality and when we break bread together. My mentor taught me, the Reverend Ray Dean Davis, who was along with Jim Prine when Jim and I were in campus ministry together. We were so cute. He said, Ray Dean would always say this before communion. He would say, there is nothing, he would usually hold up bread. He'd usually hold up bread from Avanti's, which was this, from my humble opinion, the worst Italian restaurant ever on the planet. But they made really good bread. And so Ray Dean would always have Avanti's bread. And he'd hold it up for us, and we all would be watering because we all knew our Avani's bread. And then he goes, but the most beautiful thing about this bread is when it's broken. And then we would have communion. Now, God is real. I know you know this. But sometimes I even get a moment of that. Radine had a horrific cycling accident. And I was a Seattleite at that time. It was spring. I took Isabella, my daughter. We were going on college trips. And I'm like, well, it would be fun if she became an Illinois State Redbird, like her mama and her grandmother. And so we were doing the college touring. And I just arrived to Bloomington Normal, Illinois. And my friend Jenny and I get a call. Radine is in the OR, emergency room. He's in the emergency room. He had a brain aneurysm from the cycling accident. And so, you know, I don't live in Illinois, but I was there that moment, and immediately went to the emergency room. The whole family's there. The whole family knew me because I was from Radine's first class at Illinois State. His first year there was my first year as a student. Our joke used to be I graduated. He stayed on for 15 more years. And he became my colleague. He became my mentor. He's always my go-to when I went back to Illinois. I was getting ready to call him. That was always the tradition. I arrive, Bloomington Normal. I call him. We make our dates. We do our coffees. He does his teaching to me, fills me up. But instead, it was reverse. And now I'm in the emergency room with the whole family. The first thing his wife says to me, who she and I had always had a cosmic relationship, she's like, of course you're here. And so we spent the next 5 hours together waiting for Keith, who is my best friend growing up, also a minister, also very close to Radine, and Roger, who was coming up from Missouri, who was Radine's best friend. And then that's when it was decided to turn off the machine. Unfortunately, he died peaceably. This Christmas Eve, Myla, Radine's wife, collapsed as she was preparing for her kids to have all the kids over. They have four kids, and then all those kids have kids. So she's preparing. Myla doesn't drink, but she had all the wine for the kids. She's doing that hospitality that we're talking about in the text today. She's making sure her house gets ready. She collapses. Now, I'm in Illinois as a resident, but maybe not for long. We don't know yet, but maybe not for long. And she dies. And so I and Jenny, there was no place for them to have a reception. The church that she was involved in was having a wedding that day. So Jenny and I got her church ready, and I bought tablecloths, and we said goodbye over Avantis to Myla Sue. I took that as a sign that I could go, that if I got offered the position to come here, that I could go. The two people that were with me and grew up with me and offered me hospitality so many times, they are now to rest and are looking over me, with me, next to me, where they are. That's being open to when God is nudging you, talking to you, encouraging you, saying that that walk that happened thousands of years ago today is happening any chance we're paying attention. We are suffering. We are scared. There is so much violence going on out in the world. There's so much injustice. We're not going to have all the answers in our walks. We're going to get the answers when we sit around tables together. That's why we have tables out here. And none of you sit in them. So sit at the tables. Have the coffee. Have the fruit. Take time. There's no rush. And when those of us need to do church business, we'll stand away in another place. But sit. Enjoy each other. enjoy the hospitality. Julietta and I do this on purpose. We have set this up for you so that we can be vulnerable and allow Jesus to be seen among us. So that walk that took place so many years ago, that breaking of the bread that took place so many years ago, takes place every day in our lives. We just need to be open to it. Amen and amen.